It's a Thursday, and that means Danny Mac is in the house, and I have to say there have been some reverberations after your controversial power ranking of holidays last week.
I've heard from many people about the Halloween take, but many people agree about dealing with their children and pants falling to the ankles.
That, I think everyone empathized with. The vampire community was thrilled with your support for All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
But, again, a little controversial. A little controversial to have Halloween number two in front of Thanksgiving. Although, you know, at this point, Thanksgiving will be everyone sit in your room by yourself and
don't eat anything. Don't go anywhere. Don't eat. Don't congregate. Don't shake hands. Make sure you wash properly. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? You know, you're expected to be in the Scoop's offices. We don't shut down for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, especially because it doesn't even crack the top two of Scoop's holidays.
That's right.
Halloween, we'd be off. We'd be partying in the streets. Take the week off.
We don't shut down for holidays.
Absolutely not, because you know what? The takes don't stop.
Takes don't stop, and neither do Scoops.
I need someone on Thanksgiving morning to tell me the top four quarterbacks that they'd want to lead a two-minute drive with everything on the line.
I mean, you got to have that. Everybody, you get that with your stuffing.
You put Elway over Marino? Marino never won the big game. He never got back. You can't assume it. But here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And the reason I pause is I have been very excited to go to Chicago and see my family. But now you would think that I was, you know.
What are the rules about going into Chicago? Better be careful if you're going to do that.
Well, I am going to, similar to when I took a trip a couple of months ago with my buddies, and a couple of them have young kids, or one of them had a wife that was expecting. We all got tested before the trip. Just for peace of mind, right? So I'll get a test next week and then go to Chicago and sit at my parents' house with my immediate family. I don't see anything too, you know, unbelievably hazardous about that, but people have sensitivities. Like, people are acting like if you want to...
I'm going to call you out on this. Okay. I'm saying you're not going to get a test.
Why wouldn't I? I've gotten... since I've been traveling already.
I'm saying you're not going to get a test. I'm saying you're going straight from here to the family. You're sitting down and you're going to have turkey and you're going to roll the dice.
You know the reason that I will 100% get a test, not only because of, you know, just peace of mind for everyone, but I want to see my godson and my two cousins, and he is 14 months old. So I want to get a test so that everyone knows that I'm free of the Rona. But
be free of that Rona, dog.
But, like, are you allowed to do that, or are you allowed to be around your family? Like, am I a bad person for crossing state lines?
You can't be around more than 10.
Well, we don't have more than 10 in the family. We're a big family. Family is 7, so.
All right. I'm going to keep my tabs on you, dog.
You keep finding kids, like, behind curtains in your house.
They do.
They come home from Halloween, and they're part of the McLaughlin Scoops family.
What is it? The old mom in the shoe? Whatever thing, the old lady in the shoe?
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe?
Yeah. They just roll out of the big toe that's torn on the shoe. They come out like ants. That's what happens over my house.
Power ranking of old-timey limericks and fables.
I got my favorite was, because I read it. As a kid, I loved it. Now I can picture it, but now I can't remember the name of it. Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, great
one.
Yeah,
Where the Wild Things Are. That was a fantastic read that I've read many, many times and really enjoyed it.
It would be great to, and maybe this should be part of the...
And everyone poops. P.J. Fleck read that to his team. Do you know that? Did you see that?
I did not.
P.J. Fleck, the head coach of Minnesota... 2 weeks ago.
That's kind of obnoxious, I feel like.
He read before the game the book Everyone Poops, which you'll read to your small children to get them to go to the potty.
And then did Minnesota go out and lay a poop?
No, he said that you realize that everyone poops, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but to explain that to his team, because he has young children, he said, well, you can use the fertilizer to grow, and we're going to grow as a team. And they went out and won, and that's how he related everyone poops to his team. As you grow, it's fertilizer. We're going to grow as a team, gentlemen. And they did that.
You know,
that's what they did. Scoops, I'm going to read you Everyone Poops because we're going to grow here. We're going to get better.
That's a good motivational tool.
Yeah. I want you to grow, get better on these podcasts. read it every night just to grow.
Have they been poor?
I'm just saying, man. You got to, it's self-reflection, okay?
I feel like I'm getting really cross-examined here in the first 5 minutes of our Thursday chat.
Everyone poops.
I think maybe a Scoops with Danny Mac children's book is the next cash cow. Because write one of those, like Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
That dude is just set. Whoever wrote that book, you're taking those monsters and that little kid to the bank.
Yeah. I thought the illustrations in it, outstanding. The young lad in it, outstanding.
A good leading man.
Yep. A leader. I mean, you get through that particular incident in your life, you can lead through anything. And then you move on to Everyone Poops. And obviously, you get through that issue in your life, it's on to the next step. So, you know, you get through those two things in your life, and you're moving, man.
I'm curious your thoughts on this. Last Friday, we had the second installment of Gambling Baby on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy Brian in New York, his two-year-old son Thomas, broke down the matchup between Toy Story and Cars. Toy Story was a minus 150 favorite. Cars, money line, ended up winning. And he said that he's probably seen Cars and Toy Story 100 times over the course of the pandemic. When you're not reading Everyone Poops or Where the Wild Things Are, what is for the young ones dominating at the McLaughlin household? And give me the two or three films.
Well, my kids are grown now, past that.
Well, but I was about to say the two or three films or television shows that over the span of your time as a father, just you know them like the back of your hand.
Ooh, man. I was singing Caillou the other day. Caillou is, we had, Caillou.
It's a catchy tune.
Yeah. I was singing Caillou the other day.
Clip that off.
It's a little different. I mean, Caillou is a young kid walking around, but he hasn't grown any hair.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which I didn't quite figure out when I was watching it, you know? I don't know. I kind of got to, maybe Lauren, would you agree with that?
Bald
kid. Yeah, she said he's awful, but we used to watch a little Caillou action. Little Bill. I liked Little Bill.
Who's Little Bill? Tell me about Little Bill.
There's always a life lesson with Little Bill, you know?
You don't know many little kids named Bill.
Well, this one was Little Bill. Little Bill had some action, you know, some life lessons in there. Yeah, you know, things that you might want to go back and watch Little Bill.
Make the podcast better.
Yeah, he might teach you some life lessons.
What about Disney, Pixar stuff, movies?
You know, we've
done them all, seen them all.
I think we went from there, and then we started watching, Rambo.
Yeah, sure.
We just jumped we went right from there to Caillou to Rambo.
Yeah, Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Maybe the Swayze Suite.
Yeah.
Roadhouse, Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first version, of course.
Oh.
Patrick Swayze.
The original Red Dawn. Yeah. I mean, the Wolverines. Mm-hmm. Roadhouse is such a classic, and to the point where I feel like you grow as a person when you experience that for the first time. I mean, first of all, the plot's airtight. The best bouncer in the world going to the worst bar in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you've got some classic lines. I think, you know, I can't repeat most of them on the air here.
Well, it's up to you. It is a podcast.
It is a podcast, but gets a little aggressive. And then just, you know, the classic 80s bad guy, like one of the all-time 80s bad guys who always wears the blazer with the collar popped up and drives the convertible around laughing.
Yeah.
Ran the town.
He always, you know,
lived in the huge mansion.
And then he tried to go after Red. I didn't like that when he went after Red. Red was a hell of a man, you know, was honest as the day is long. And you went after Red, you're going after you and your friends.
You're going after Dalton. That's what you're doing.
Right. And I didn't like that one bit.
Those 80s bad guys always live in like the giant estate, and there's always like people playing croquet and assorted yard games in mm-hmm. front of the house. He'll come out with like the neckerchief on.
Yeah.
And like a snifter of something, and they'll have the wide shot from, you know, the protagonist's point of view, watching them all mm-hmm. having a great time and living things up. Little do they know, their world's about to change.
Dalton's friend, Sam, come on, deep voice, mustache.
Sam Elliott?
Yeah, Sam Elliott.
Dalton.
You know, great technique, but it just looked like it had started to pass him by a little bit, you know, but still could get after it.
That was a while ago.
You know, he could still get after it. He could sweep the leg pretty good. He could take your knee out.
Poor blind musician getting bottles and stuff thrown at him.
Yeah. But you did have the chicken wire up to make sure he was protected somewhat.
Can you imagine going into an establishment and chicken wires up?
Well, Blues Brothers dealt with it too.
I want to order a coffee and have the barista ask me leaded or unleaded.
It was Roadhouse.
Great movie.
Roadhouse, I watched it a couple weeks ago. One of my favorites. I love it.
It's like a coming of age. Your kids hit 12 years old, sit them down, watch Roadhouse.
Yep. Time to learn life lessons, kids.
Yeah, here's how you rip a guy's Adam's apple up.
You're right. This is how you protect yourselves. We did watch a lot of Karate Kid.
They love
Karate Kid.
Have you watched the... Everyone's going crazy about the new series on Netflix, Cobra Kai. Thank you, Lauren.
I think my son is. You know, my oldest loves the Star Wars stuff. So he's watching that.
The Mandalorian.
Right. He's watching that. He's totally into that.
You're a Star Wars guy.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm really looking forward to. If the trailer is anything like, or if the movie or the documentary, I should say, is anything like the trailer, is the Tiger Woods on HBO.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd say that.
Did he have any input on this, or is this unauthorized by him, or do you have any idea?
You know, I actually haven't read a lot about it. I've seen the documentaries that started to roll out last week.
Yeah.
And roll out around the Masters. And there's the obviously really, really moving kind of clips of Earl.
Right.
And it comes out in January. Let's see here.
Because looks unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So it is.
Because he's one of the guys you just don't know. I mean, you know a lot about him, but you don't really know the inner workings and seen a lot of it. He's so scripted in everything he's done. His life has been scripted, it seems like. So if there's something behind the scenes with him, one of the great golfers, if not the greatest golfer that's ever walked the planet, then that's something that would interest me.
So it says that it's based on Armin Katan's book, the unauthorized biography that came out a couple of years ago, which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
It says it will feature interviews with Stevie Williams, Rachel Uchitel. So it doesn't appear that Tiger participates. That was the thing that was so crazy about the Jordan documentary, is that not only did Jordan participate, and he had never done anything like that before, but have you read anything or heard anything about the process of getting that thing made? It was like more than a decade in the making.
Right.
There was all this footage that, you know, the company had, ESPN had the rights to. And finally, Jordan, you know, agreed to do it because he doesn't do anything like that. So I wonder if at some point, and he was the executive producer, which some people criticized. But I wonder, and I'm sure at some point Tiger will tell a story or tell his story, and who knows, you could make movies, anything about it. But for now, this will be probably the most behind the scenes stuff that we've like that will blow anything away that, that we've ever been able to see.
Have you read Three Nights in August with Buzz Bissinger, the Buzz Bissinger book on Tony?
And I have not.
So I was with the team at that time, and Buzz had, you know, complete...
he's unbelievable, by the way.
He's
brilliant.
Incredible. He had all access, and he actually thanked me in the book, which is cool, because we had a lot of talks. You know, Buzz would be on the bus rides with us. He would be around all the time. He was just observing. He is an incredible writer. I mean, he's ridiculous. And it was fascinating reading his work. I mean, it was unbelievable.
After
reading.
You had experienced.
Just having been around it and to see someone be able to put what I witnessed, and some of it I was privy to, some of it I wasn't, to see it put it in words and to see it put in a book was just incredible. So when you get that kind of access and to see the talent come through in a writer and how they do that, and then to having been a part of it and kind of lived through it, I'm fascinated by it. So I'm really fascinated by the documentary. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, especially in an age when we feel like or we think we have more of a glimpse than ever into the lives of public people with social media and the internet and whatever. Still, like Tiger, just so tremendously private. That's why I think last year when he won the Masters, it was so, I don't know if stunning's the right word, but you know, you saw the genuine emotion with his kids. You saw his kids that we never really see, although his son's a stick. I've seen a picture of his golf swing.
Is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, you got a glimpse into some of what he's been doing and what his life has been since his life changed as we all know it. Since, you know, he had the
fateful night, Thanksgiving.
Fateful night, and he had some personal issues, and he fell off the face of the world golf rankings for quite some time. So to see that kind of all full circle last year was unbelievable.
I wonder how many tournaments, how many, you know, majors he would have won if that didn't happen, or if this is what it would have been anyway.
That's a great question, because at some point the body probably still breaks down.
Yeah,
and he would have still had to have the back surgery. He never would have had that unfortunate press conference in front of the blue velvet drapes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my God, even last week, man, like, the dude makes, and I know everyone's talked about this, this isn't a groundbreaking take, all right? This is not an earthquake take.
But the 10 and then the birdies.
He made 5 out of 6 birdies.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, you see Bryson hit one bad shot or get one bad ruling, and it ruined his whole tournament.
Right.
So,
I agree.
And then the way now that he talks after a round and the perspective that he gives, he just, listen, I'm sure the guy still wants to win as bad as ever, but you know,
I think
rolls off his back, man. He has perspective, it seems like.
I still think he's going to win one more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? If you set the over-under at 1.5, I'd probably take the over because I think he'll win one more Masters for sure just because of the way he knows how to get around the course.
Right. That's the one I think he'll win. I think he'll win one more Masters.
And then I could see him winning at St. Andrews or at Torrey Pines, somewhere that he knows really, 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 really well.
Yep. I think the stars have to align where I think the weather can cost him because of his body. Like if you have delays or it's cold and he can't stay loose, that kind of thing, I think that could cost him. Because his body doesn't bounce back. Like the other day when there was a little bit of the delay and you could see he was tight.
Doesn't he say that he gets up at like 2 or 3 a.m. if he's got like a 7 a.m. tee time?
Right. And I could see that costing him. But if things align to where it just all kind of aligns for him to get loose and it's warm and he's feeling good and loose and that kind of thing, I bet he could win. I do. I think he could win.
I mean, even so last year, won the Masters, won the Zozo, had a number of top fives.
Yep.
I mean, he's been in the mix this year, even with the weird schedule.
But didn't you see like 5 out of 6? That kind of, so it's there, you know? That's why I think he could still do it.
It was pretty cool to watch the coverage of the tournament and like the Masters app. You can watch every shot.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Guy.
I love that. I wish all tournaments did that. The majors, I wish they all, which some do, depending on where it's at and how they arrange it. But the Masters app is this; it's the greatest. I love that app, love it, because I love the Masters.
Oh yeah,
the Masters is the best.
you can still go back and fire it up. And now they're putting all the final rounds on YouTube.
Exactly.
Shout out to Dustin Johnson, by the way, man. Just clinical. I feel like that guy could get stabbed walking down the fifth fairway, and he'd just be like, eh, all right, and go on and make birdie. Just no, you talk about the polar opposite of Bryson. Nothing rattles that guy. I heard like an anecdote that after he blew the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, that the next morning, I think Gretzky and the family was going out to play golf or something, and they just kind of let him be, and he like showed up on the first tee and was like, hey, you guys left without me? And like, he wanted to play golf. It just rolls off his back, man. If he has a bad shot, if he has a, like anything, it just rolls off his back.
Did you see the picture on Instagram? There's Dustin Johnson, and Wayne Gretzky is dressed as a caddy from the Masters. He's got a caddy hat and the caddy, you know, the suit, the white, you know,
I did not see that.
Jumpsuit or whatever
awesome.
It is. It's great. Wayne Gretzky. They're with arm in arm with Dustin Johnson with that picture. It's incredible.
There's a picture of them a couple of years ago when the hurricanes forced people out of Florida. It was before the BMW was up at Conway Farms in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he was in town in St. Louis for a couple of weeks, and they were down at like at Family Golf. And And he was pounding balls off the mat with a 5-iron, and Gretzky's standing behind him watching.
Right.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
That's the best.
Yep. Pretty cool. Best golfer, in my mind, some will debate this. I think Wayne Gretzky's the greatest hockey player ever. Now, some will say it's Orr, because Orr changed the game. My preference is Gretzky.
I think you could make the argument Gretzky was one of, maybe along with Jordan, most dominant athletes ever.
Yeah, and now you're talking about the number one golfer in the world. Not bad.
Is it possible that he is not only the best, but also maybe the most underrated right now?
He wasn't
even the odds-on favorite last week. Maybe it's because he keeps a low profile. Maybe it's recency bias. He didn't play a lot before the Masters, but I feel like good as he is, like we talk about Bryson, we talk about Rory, like, and he's, you know, I'm not saying he's underrated to the point that people don't give him any shot, but just for how damn good, he's the best, man.
How come no one is talking about the fact that he recovered from COVID-19 and spent 2 weeks in a hotel room? Like, 2 weeks in a hotel room, hops out, practices a little bit, then goes out and plays and wins the Masters with 20 under. Like,
unreal.
That to me was not really even talked about, right? I mean, that's huge. How come we didn't talk about that? It's kind of like, it's almost like it's accepted now. And I don't know why that is. You know, I understand athletes bounce back from this. Some bounce back from it differently. But to go out and shoot 20 under after going through COVID-19, that's incredible.
And not only the physical aspects, but the mental aspects of being cooped up like that.
That's what I'm saying.
Rick Gaiman was on the show yesterday, and he was saying, you know, he's playing in Mayakoba next week, Boston, down in Mexico, I guess. Maybe him and Paulina get a little vacation down to Playa del Carmen. He might shoot 40 under next week.
Yeah. It's incredible. Guy is awesome. Awesome. I love the way he handles everything, too. Like you said, everything rolls off his back. It's no big deal. Has a bad shot. No different perspective on it.
Is his brother have the greatest gig in the world, too?
Yeah.
How
about his brother's reaction, though?
Oh, my God,
that
man.
Was the coolest part, too. Emotional with it. I thought that was really cool.
Just thought about my brothers, and you know, when I make a big putt to save bogey on the 18th hole at Winnetka Golf Club, like, gets like that, man.
Oh yeah,
gets a little dusty.
You get this, you get that $2 win. You're like, there's a couple tears being shed.
Pay up, boys.
Pay up right now.
All right, we got a quick Thursday list because I know you got to roll in a minute.
Yes, sir.
In honor of the holidays, but a lot of people not being in their offices. I thought maybe we'd revisit office faux pas. Office faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this because two things that I really, really enjoy. And, you know, here at Scoops World headquarters, we're a tight-knit group, so we don't have to deal with a lot of this. But my number one draft pick is going to be the reply all email. When an email is sent out to everyone, and clearly, the reply all is not intended or necessary, and you get it back. For instance, hey, we've got a couple of Cardinal tickets for this weekend. Let blah, blah, blah know if you'd like any. 6 emails back to everyone. I'll take 3. I'll take 2. I would love 1. Thank you. The reply all email. And piggybacking on that, is guy who forwards a ton of chain emails. Like, guy who forwards...
jokes?
Not more like viral videos.
Okay.
Like, Christmas miracle, unbelievable reaction, parentheses, FW, must watch, exclamation mark. Stop forwarding me that stuff, man.
All right, I got one.
You're just going to start blasting reply all emails.
No, probably, because you know how much I love to email.
Or text.
Yeah.
Or talk.
Yeah.
Unless you're a sponsor, get at us. We'll email you back.
You betcha.
Chris at scoops@dannymac.com.
Yeah. Make sure you get that.
We'll reply all.
You got that right. This is more of a pet peeve. Hey, person that brings a lunch, let's go ahead and clean that thing out, okay? You bring the lunch, you put it in the refrigerator, let's clean it out that day. Either eat it or throw it away.
There's got to be...
Or take it home.
There's got to be a timer on that thing, yeah. The span of
there's
one day.
There's a shelf life. Literally, shelf life.
You know what would solve that problem? What if you at offices had to pay for space in the refrigerator?
There you go.
You rent it for like a day.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side of that, guy who goes into the fridge and takes something that isn't theirs, and then on the flip side of that, guy who then emails the whole office and says, I really don't appreciate that someone ate my half sandwich that I left in the... Dude, don't leave it in there.
Well, let's take that baby and let's clean it out. All right, you got here in my world, you got a 4-hour shelf life. You come in at 9, you got from 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 1. At that point, it's out. If it's still there at 1, fair game.
In the words of PJ Fleck, poop or get off the pot.
You got it.
But if you had to pay to rent refrigerator space at the office, it would solve this problem.
1 o'clock, it's all fair game.
The eject button.
Fair game.
Fair game.
Fair game.
Can you imagine grazers just hovering around the kitchen waiting until 1 o'clock hits for open range on the fridge, free range on
That's
the fridge?
Right. It's like blood in the water.
How about person who brings in leftover salmon and microwaves it in the kitchen?
I was just about to go with that one.
Or burns the popcorn.
Which reminds me of another thing, which is a little bit off the beaten path. A person sitting to me next to me on a plane, go ahead and eat that baby before we get on the plane, huh?
I have never understood, and maybe this is the problem.
Now, the peanuts are fine. That doesn't stink. But when you decide to get the hot meal, let's go ahead and eat that before you sit next to me.
I have a philosophy and a rule on this. Dry food only. And maybe this is the problem with society, and I hardly consider myself ready to compete on American Ninja Warrior, okay? I will admit that, but how are we to the point in society now where we can't go on an hour and a half flight from St. Louis to Detroit without eating a burrito bowl? Like, you're not going to die on the plane if you don't eat the Sbarro pizza between takeoff and landing. Like, it's going to be okay, and I personally would just enjoy the experience a lot more if I'm not, you know, elbow to elbow trying to scarf down my grinder. Like
the McDonald's, the Burger King next to you. Like, can we put that baby down before we get on this thing?
You're not going to die of starvation if that's one of the nice things about maybe traveling right now is that the restrictions are tighter. No one in the middle seats.
I haven't been on a plane since this thing hit.
I
got home after March 12th, but that's the last time I've been on a plane.
I have a handful of times, and I mean it was a good experience because there's a lot less people. You can't like bring stuff onto the plane. They're not serving stuff on the plane. You got to keep your mask on. Everybody gets on, gets off. But listen, the hot Auntie Annie's pretzel with the nacho cheese.
Yeah,
you don't need it. You're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
You'll make it. And if not, just how about a protein bar? How about some peanuts?
Another office thing, let's keep the shoes on.
That goes for planes as well.
Yeah. Let's keep the shoes on. I don't need to have the shoes off. Okay, you got a problem with the feet? That's not my problem.
You know a lot of folks going barefoot around the office?
Yeah.
You're looking at...
No.
No one in particular.
Not in this particular office, but I've been in other ones. No. I don't need to see those... I don't need to see those rolled up babies. Let's put them back in the shoes.
I have a philosophy as well. You know, Dan, although I am yet a young man, the wisdom I've accumulated, men should in no circumstances wear any type of open-toed shoe or sandal unless they are within 100 yards of a body of water. No one needs to see your feet regardless. Not barefoot, but the flip-flops, just I don't need that in like in an office setting, in a public setting, in a social setting.
Oh, you need to clip your nails? Not on my time.
Ugh.
Let's do that at home.
People.
Oh, yeah, I've had that. Let's do that on your time, sweetie. And when I say sweetie, I mean men, too.
Playboy, I ain't got time for that.
Ain't got time for that, bro. Do that on your time, not me. Yeah, almost made me puke one time.
Well,
and it was a guy that was doing it.
Men's feet are almost entirely disgusting. So keep those
these
things
babies.
Covered up.
These things are sweet.
If I'm clipping my nails, it's like, hey, got a couple of Ferraris down here. I got to change the oil. Come on, baby.
Those are my...
High performance.
Those are my issues.
Those are some good office pet peeves. You can tweet us. You can
email
us.
I got one more.
What else? Hit me. Who is...
Loud typer.
Who is clipping their toenails?
It wasn't clipping toenails. They were doing their hands. But the other one is the loud typer and the loud talker.
And the speakerphone talker.
Oh, speakerphone. Yeah. Take it somewhere else.
Speakerphone in general in life. Like, come on. No one, unless you are a real estate agent on $1 million listing, closing a deal outside of a...
And I got
a
cut.
Outside of a restaurant in New York. Like, there's no other need for speakerphone.
Exactly. The restaurant talker.
Loud talker.
Yeah.
Loud typer. Loud typer. God, you're not playing percussion right now.
Yeah. We covered a lot today.
That was good.
Very well done.
Danny?
We'll talk to you next week.
Well, next Thursday, Thanksgiving, I'll be here bright and early.
You know that.
Lord knows I can't leave the bubble of St. Louis.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks. In your head is filled up with the things that you read.